Apostle Fermi Lazarus is a man raised by God to demonstrate his wisdom and authority to the Last Day Church. He is the lead pastor of Sphere of Light Church, and God told him years ago that a time will come where my wisdom will be needed to navigate tough times in the body of Christ. Then I will cause your voice to be heard, and all who pay attention to my word on your lips will not lack light and direction. He is a man sent from God, sent to raise God's end time armies. With Apostle Fermi Lazarus, every minute counts as you listen attentively.
This morning, I'm so excited to bring you God's word. This morning across all our centers. And if you have been following the series we have, now you will understand the reason why this is a necessity. But one more reason why we are connected this morning is because the Lord has asked me to pronounce a timely blessing. Amen. Yeah. Praise God. So, towards the end of the teaching, I'm going to be focusing my gaze on how to connect with the grace in your spiritual family. Amen. So, all right. So, we're going to be doing that tonight, this morning. Amen. Are you set for God this morning? Are you sure you're ready? All right. I began a series on how to keep your estate. It was not supposed to be a long series like we're having it now. It was supposed to be a short charge. All right. A short charge. But now it is what it is. And apparently this is also one of my future books now. So we have to work on it. Amen. Now I laid the foundation of this teaching using the book of Acts of the Apostles. Acts of the Apostles chapter number 1. Acts of the Apostles chapter number 1. I read from verse 16. Okay, let's start from verse 15 now. Acts 1 from verse 15. And in those days, Peter stood in the midst of the disciples and said, now the number of them, of the names together, were about 120. Men and brethren, the scripture must needs be fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost spake, all right, by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was a guide to them which took Jesus. For he was numbered with us, and had obtained a part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with a reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and his bowels gushed out. And it was known to all the dwellers in Jerusalem, in so much as the field is called by in their proper tongue Akeldama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Alright? So Peter was given a bit of update about what had happened to the man called Judas. And, you know, it's a very sobering scripture that he was once numbered amongst us. And many of you can probably think about some believers that you used to know. Maybe somebody you used to know on campus that was on fire. Maybe until money came. Maybe until they got married. Maybe until something just came. And now you can no longer trace the fire. You are wondering. Now, I remember a very, very interesting situation. I want to show you a scripture about the law of reprobacy, and there is a doctrine, and I want us to learn from that doctrine. When I started out in ministry, I didn't start out as a preacher. All right? We had one that I can't really call a ministry now. If you know, you know. But the main one was a drama ministry. All right? So there used to be this brother that even if we're having a meeting that will go for 6 hours, I look forward to his 10 minutes of prayer. Because that 10 minutes of prayer will be enough to set me on fire throughout the entire week. And I always wonder, what kind of person is this? You see. And years went by, I lost touch. And over, one time I was able to connect with him again. And said, wow, I've missed you. We should do something. All right, but this time around when I heard him, I sat down there wondering, where did the fire go? What happened? And that's even a mild case. There are cases of people that outrightly have left the faith. Are you with me? I remember I went to minister on the campus, and when the fellowship leaders came to meet me at my lodge and were seated counseling them, I just spoke to them by the Spirit. And they said, what you're saying, it's exactly what is going on our campus right now. And they began to describe how the faith of believers on that campus had been weakened. Because at certain points, leaders got into investments. And I want to speak to those who are in ministry. It is a trap to combine calling people to come and invest with ministry. It has always been a trap. Yours will not be different. That is, I'm going to fall into a big trouble the day I now start telling you that there's this. And I'm not talking down those who are doing it. I know most of you are investors, from real estate people to, what's it called now? Cryptocurrency to Forex and all that. I respect what you do. You do what you do, let me do what I do. Is that clear now? The day I come as a pastor to tell you that there's this Forex, this thing, and the ROI is 30%, it doesn't always end well. There are certain things you can't combine ministry with. Is that okay now? And I'm not going to go into the reason why many are falling out. But if we're going to pick them, there are a lot of lessons to learn from that. Are you following what I'm saying here? So it is amazing. And I share this story of a man that I know. That I witnessed his ordination years back. And later got out of the line, got into women, got into many things. And years went by. One day I was in a meeting. And I saw an old man walked into the meeting with so much grace, honor. Do you know when you serve God, he places honor on your life? Oh, yes. There is something about your life that is the honor of God. And if you don't recognize it early, you can waste it. Because you don't even know it is there. And the man walked in with so much grace. And I looked close and I said, this is the man. It was the one that anointed that man years back. But the one who ordained him is still standing. And the ordinee is off the track. You will not fall off the track. Yes. Say that amen loud and clear. Yes. Now we know you as one. It doesn't matter what you are battling with. But at least you have a space in your heart to be in church. Don't give room to the devil to get you to the point where you are not the man who cannot be found in church. And we need to define a few things. All right, so we don't get out of context. And my foundation might be a bit extensive. The moment we begin to project money and wealth as a proof of God's endorsement, when people get it outside God, they will say it is God who is endorsing them. God blesses both the wise and the foolish. There are principles of financial prosperity that anybody who understands those principles and operates them will have money. Are you with me now? Now, Paul captured in his letter to the Corinthians and said, spoke about the journey of the Israelites from the wilderness. And in those 40 years, God was not pleased with them. They were complaining. They were operating out of faith or outside faith, if you don't know what that means. They were not in faith. They never lacked protection. They never lacked food. They never lacked divine guidance. But yet, God wasn't happy with them. So, somebody can fornicate and then eat a major contract. It's not God. It's just the proceeding of things. Are you following what I'm saying here? All right? Because my fear for imbalance as far as the doctrine of prosperity is concerned is that we must draw the line. Number one, money is not the first sign of a prosperous man. The presence of God is. God was with Joseph and he prospered in the house of Potiphar. Is that okay now? I hope I'm communicating. Do you understand what I'm saying? We need that to be clear. Listen to what I'm saying. If the presence of God is with you, you will prosper. You will. You will. And let me also give a bit of balance and help. I think I said this on Saturday during PPC. And please, I want particularly those of you who are involved in business and whatever investment and all those things you do, please listen now. If you can understand what I want to teach you, what I want to mention now, you will not have promise and fail experience. So what happens is, you can move from faith to hope. It is a decline. Faith, God, I'm doing this, I trust you, that, oh Lord, there will be doors that will be opened. Anytime a door is in front of you, it is always a temptation to switch from faith to hope. Because now, you may begin to speak from a level of audacity. That is not a function of revelation, but a function of the word of the one who has promised. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't understand what I'm saying, no. What I'm telling you is that if I tell you that I'm going to give you 12 billion naira, and I say, come on Monday morning by 10 a.m., if you are not careful, the things you will say on Sunday will not be because God said, and it's rooted in what God said. It is not rooted in what he said. And as long as your faith wants to stand on what he said, the foundation is destroyed, it can't stand. What I'm telling you is that God will never empower anybody to take his place. Never switch from faith to hope. You'll be disappointed every time you do it. Even when it comes to the issue of, I don't want to go into some matters. I'm going to say other matters. You know what I'm saying now. Are you following what I'm saying here? All right. That is, I'm standing before somebody and say, okay, this is what I'm going to do. And say, I'm saying, oh, I'm listening. But what I'm saying in my heart is not your words, but what he said. That is, if at the last minute you change your mind, I'm not stranded. And that's why people get into depression. Because they have moved from rooting their faith on what God said to what a man says. Once the person changed the mind, there's no foundation again. They start from the scratch. If you change your mind when I've rooted my faith in what God said, what will happen is that you are no longer the person to do it, but the word still stands. Every other person is a variable. What is a constant is God. Never make man a constant. Never make man a constant. Are you following what I'm saying here? This will save you 10 times in 10 situations. Please be seated. Please follow me. And I need you to please listen and listen well. All right, so somehow, it is very possible that many things have been projected as a sign of God's endorsement. Whether in the will of God or not, money can increase in your pocket. So by the time we now have believers who have been trained to track being in the center of God's will with three factors. I'm going to give you the three factors. We need to have believers who have been trained to track being in the center of God's will with three factors. Number one, what you are doing does not contradict the written word. You must be able to find yourself situated in the word. Number two, there is his peace that is in your heart that shows his peace with you. That is, you have peace of God that is a proof of peace with God. Is that okay now? That is, when God approves of what he's doing, and this is a very dicey one, one of the things he gives, because we need to have Christians who are following God, sir. Are you for what I'm saying now? For instance, if I stand in service and I just look towards the back and I look towards, there's a way I will look, the pastors will know that, okay, something is happening there. Because you have been trained to track me beyond speech. Peace or the loss of it is the way God speaks without opening his mouth. You must be able to track it. The third tracker is the witness of joy in your heart. Whatsoever you receive at the expense of the joy of the Lord is not from God. You can't draw with joy and lose joy after drawing. You can't. Is that clear now? You can't draw with joy and lose joy after. Can I be free to say a few things? Ibadan particularly, can I be free to say a few things? Lagos, I want to say something. Chances, the way this thing work is that peace and joy actually moves together. Is that okay now? So, one of the ways you will know that your peace is out of the way is that it is your joy that is lost that will call your attention to the fact that you are not just down. Actually, peace is gone. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's what happens. You see, you are in Nigeria, and because you are used to problem, apologies. I'm just saying this. It is possible that in your subconscious you are saying, maybe I'm just troubled for something I don't know. But joy that is out of the way. And how do you know joy is out of the way? There's no longer melody in your spirit. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, do you understand what I'm saying? I want to give an example. I'm trying to build you to that example. Because you like a girl. You were seeing the picture. Ah, my dad. Yeah, this girl. Ah. You open your mouth. Bam! You talk. You say you are the one. You just notice. Every time you meet to talk, you feel like crying. She's saying nice stuff, dress well. You are proud of her. But do you know the reason why you must pay attention to what is inside? Because where that thing is coming from is already in the past and the present. It is weeping on your behalf. Respect it, sir. Never push yourself into situations regardless of what happens to your peace and joy. Say, I'm a pusher. That is, we'll push it, we'll squeeze it. They will squeeze you. Your blood will dry. I hope you didn't hear that. That's on a lighter note. All right. Praise God. Hallelujah. It can even be when you are about to send money to somebody. And I'm telling you this. So, a believer who is not fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit has lost the two most important trackers, peace and joy. Because they will be manifested by the Spirit of God on your inside. That is, you must train yourself on a daily basis. That even when you don't understand the basis for this disturbance you feel in your heart, respect it. Is that okay now? You can't find why. Do what? Respect it. You were sleeping at night and suddenly you lost your peace and you were like, oh God, what's going on? Wake up and pray. There is something beyond you that if you will have to run from pillar to post, you can't cater for, but you can handle now. And sometimes what happens is, you say, I lost my peace for a while, but now it's back. No. What actually happens is that the situation is now off your limit. Why is it still hanging? Comes back, face life. But you will now cry about what you missed. Respect it, pay attention to the pointer, and allow yourself to be rooted in God's word. Are you following what I'm saying here? So that you will be able to. Let me give you an instance. Somebody comes to tell you now and say that, I want to give you an instance, and please follow me. Let me give maybe a crude instance. You are an architect. Somebody, all right, said he wants to help him design a structure. And while you pay attention to the design of the structure, you wonder, this is not just a house. This is a house with dungeons and all that. So you ask, you begin to make inquiry, and somehow you stumbled on the fact that these people are into human trafficking and all that. And you notice that they are going to pay you more than times 20 of what you should have received for that business. Let's assume you ought to take like 10 million naira for this business and now they are paying you 200 million naira. Will you accept the money and come and share testimony in church even when you know that you are outside the will of God? So it means that the believer must be trained in a way that blessing cannot stand on its own. If it is not in Christ, I don't want. Even if it will look like I don't have a testimony. Are you following what I'm saying? Because as such, you may not have testimony before men, but your testimony is loud in heaven. Now, please follow me. Now, I laid that foundation, and the reason why I'm giving you this foundation this morning is so that we can be able to track what our stay is and what it is not. Are you following what I'm saying? Follow me, please. And I went on to show you that if the devil wants to bring any man down and finish the man, there are five things he will need to destroy in the life of the man. I said, number one, he will need to destroy the quality relationships that bring checks and balance to your life. And the reason is because relationships are layers of protections around you. Number two, the devil will need to destroy your conviction as touching the voice of authority and accountability over your life. It may make you have your leaders as figurehead and whatsoever you want to do with your leader. And let me say this to you. And it is, if there's any lesson I have learned in, and I encourage leaders to please learn it, I've learned in the hardest way possible in ministry, it is that never fight for where people place you in their life. So if people say that you are their father and they hold you like a pinch of salt, accept it, but teach the truth. You see, never get angry and say, and these people are like, That is the way you are. And that is the way what is on your life speaks. Never say, I thought we were good friends, but now look at it, so you could do this and not even carry me along. This fellow has made it clear. This is the level of trust I have. Why try to prove that you are more? Why do you have to build your confidence in how men treat you? So as touching accountability and this, listen, it is not healthy for a leader to try to, You are the one who runs with a personal conviction of who the person is. Prove it. It's simple. And let me say this to you. Jesus, the greatest leader of all time. Any leadership book that does not point to him as the greatest of all time is a lie. Pastored how many people? Directly, 12. Out of the 12, one betrayed him. One denied him. One never believed anything he was saying. 8 went back to fishing. How many were left? If you rate leadership ministry of Jesus, you will call him a failure. Meanwhile, he succeeded. And how did God raise success that he preserved the vision and passed it on? So it's not about the crowd. And let me say this to you. If you are going to pursue the vision in quality that God has given to you, I bet you many people will leave you and you will have to leave many people. In my leadership journey, I've had people who have led me to God be the glory, we will never be enemies. And I've had people who have said, please leave me. It is important. Are you with me? This is not a pastor's conference, so there are things I'm not going to say. But let me speak to leaders. For the sake of the quality of the word and the efficacy of the word, don't get into domestic issues. Because that's where offense comes from. Let there be structures where domestic issues are handled among themselves. Let the Moses stay on Sinai. Let elders handle the issues. Let me leave it there. Because you will never have a case of pastor is using us to preach. So you can bring the word of God in clarity and what? Purity of heart. Are you following what I'm saying? Today is a day of wisdom. And we are going there because I have not started. We have not started. So I said number two, the devil will need to destroy your connection to voice of authority. That is, you are just there hanging, but what flows is no longer flowing. So you are angry, you are offended, you are on your own, but you see progress in your spiritual family. Number three, the devil would want to destroy your understanding of the sanctity of marriage. That is, he will want you to fail as far as that platform is concerned by all means. And don't forget that you can fail in marriage before getting married. Hello, sir. You don't have to get married to fail in marriage. The mentality you enter will determine whether you fail or pass. Some women enter married with the mentality of, my husband, I will bend him to do what I like. One of the difference between mature women in marriage and young girls is acceptance. Young lady, I will change him. He's my sweetheart. I will. When I talk to his head, he will adjust. And what I found out is that men can take men. Why you say men? I'm not going to say what I'm saying because say men. Man, hold on. A man can follow you like a sheep to the slaughter. Once you say I do, he gets up. I'm the man in this house. So sit down. Okay? The man has gone through several institutions. School, family, church, and what have you. What you are meeting, sir, is just going to be polished a bit better. If you marry rubbish, you stay with rubbish. So to believe that I'm going to upgrade, the Holy Ghost has been in his life for over 10 years. He has not. You, assistant Holy Ghost, you will do it. And this is why many have married in hope, not in faith. In hope. Because faith is rooted in the word. God didn't tell you, my daughter, go ahead, it will change. You said it will change. You look at this guy. This guy, he read his flag everywhere. Say, marriage change people, you know. It will change you first. Because you become toxic. You become like a witch. You know, when you marry people that you know you cannot live with what they are doing now, but you hope they will change, you will become a witch. You will lose yourself. Your hair will be scattered. You will forget to rub cream because you want to run mentor. And he's just looking at you like this and say, you know the way you met me. And I've been telling you that this is who I am. I have somebody who is very calm. That is even going to be more painful. And say, I'm not going to say a word. And you are talking and say, talk back. Just looking at you and sipping tea. You will want to run. So you can feel the pain already. Okay. You can. You feel the pain. You feel it? Copy and paste when you want to make that decision. Copy and paste. That might be your lifetime reality. Copy and paste. Don't ignore it because of what you feel. See, in church, we beg people, be accountable. You want to marry. My God in heaven. Pastor, God help pastors. I said, God help pastors. Permit me to vent for a minute. I've seen people that you see in church. 1 month, you stop seeing them in church. Next thing you see, picture married on Facebook. Even daughters. And you are shocked. Everyone can gather and insult pastors everywhere. Don't mind them. But do you know what a pastor goes through? And it becomes a problem. And a pastor will have to stick home and do counseling. That thing that is so precious, you know, you want to hide from your pastors. It's going to bring you problem. And by the time the problem starts, you'll be on your own. Are you following what I'm saying here? Permit me to share this story. The person concerned might understand. One time we dealt with the case of a boy and a girl. The boy was telling the girl, dating. He was telling the girl, when you see me, you have to go on your two knees. You have to go on your two knees. You have to say. I said, where to where, sir? Meanwhile, the boy was somebody who was following me. So that the boy is in your spiritual family is not enough. In families that are deviant, there are true sons. If you speak out to heart, you trust your leader. Because many of you don't trust your leader to speak out to heart. Once you feel something is getting good, you want to sideline. No problem. It is the way you have taken us and we have agreed. There's no issue with that. But if you feel you trust your leader, ask question. Sir, if you want to talk to me from your heart, what would you have said? Don't love without sense. You will suffer. You know, let's leave this matter now. Because everybody insults the pastor. Hey, church, they are lies too much. Hey, there are people that are reward of disobedience. They're a kind of reward, but they are reward for those who are disobeying God. You don't believe what I'm saying? I said there are boys and girls that are reward of disobedience. Maybe somebody has sinned in your family. I'm just, it's a joke, all right? Like the case of that man that was born blind, they had to ask, who sinned? So there is a kind of marriage you see, you now ask God, who sinned? Who did you try to punish? Is it the boy you are punishing, or the girl, or the mother, or the father, or the grandmother? Because this one is not what anybody who is in the scheme of God's operation should find. There's a reason why God said the solitary in families. Now, we know what we are saying practically. But you see, when you are not married, if care is not taken, the only aspect of marriage you see is the day you say I do and a few weeks after. That is as far as your imagination can capture. And the happy days you are both taking your children to school. But it is deeper. If those days will ever come, it is the quality of who you are married that determines. One time a boy came to our church. He was asking several girls out. And among those he was asking out, he stole their phone. He's asking you out in the morning, he stole your phone Bible study. And we see now say, oh, I can't reach you again. One time one of my pastors said, a girl. Said, so-and-so person is engaged, so-and-so girl. I said, the girl has money. Said yes. I said, somebody has stopped praying for her. If not, are you following what I'm saying? This is where we now talk about prayers. Mama got me going. Mama's prayer. Mama's prayer got me going. Let your mama pray for you and pray for yourself. Yeah, my dear. Lastly, about that area, I talk about sanctity of marriage. When you marry outside the will of God, one of the things you have done is that you have married a person who does not have capacity for your calling, but they can have capacity for your moment. Because what makes sense to you now doesn't really make sense in light of the future. But as you begin to get wise, you start parting. Okay, sorry. In fact, there's a kind of marriage you have, you know you can never say yes to God's call again. Because this person is only good for what is not the calling. If it is God calling me, say, let's leave it for the children. This one, I know what I've done. But here is the deal. This, all that I've said so far is for those who are not married. This is the deal. For those who are married, it is important that you and I agree. You have done it well. We have brought iodine, bandage, scissors, wool to patch it where it is tearing. Because you cannot say I do and now say I missed it. If you missed it, let it be in your heart. Live with it. And never open your mouth and tell your spouse, if only I had God, I would not have married you. The day you say that, you have officially torn the marriage apart. You will settle, but that word will never leave. Are you with me now? You are not following what I'm saying. I said, are you following what I'm saying here? Very important. Very important. Number four, I said the devil will try to water down your knowledge of consecration. That is, live your life anyhow. Samson, play with dead things, sleep with harlots. Before you know it, you cut your hair. And power is gone. Once consecration stops, the man stops moving. That's the secret of your progress. You cannot be called into specific issues and live like all others. There's a lifestyle that governs your calling and the reality of what God is doing in your life. Are you following what I'm saying here? I said, are you following what I'm saying here? Very important. And the culture of I will live my life anyhow, and when it's time to marry, I'll marry in church. Let me tell you, there's a principle that you are not aware of that will govern your choice. Whatsoever a man sows, he will reap. It's a principle. The principle is what? So what is going to happen simultaneously is that somebody also have enjoyed and is saying, let me come to church and settle down. And the two will meet. and the two will meet in pretense. This one will be pretending to pray. Makos, that sister, hey. When they get married, it will become Omawupe. He's playing the gun, you know, Davido, and that's what he's playing in the morning for morning devotion. He said that's where I get inspiration from. He said Zazu, eh? Zazu. I'm not a baboon. Oh yes. I used to like a sister. We had an issue. And she was playing Whiskey. Or I think Davido. No ministry again. By the time your children are three, it's shaku shaku. You like a girl, but you don't want your children to be like her. You have missed it. You have missed it. Will you raise your child to be like her? Check before you run. Okay? Sorry if I took too long on that. Sorry. I said lastly, the devil will try to withdraw you from kingdom service. Because the instructions governing service are the instructions that will help you preserved. Stay preserved. Is that okay now? There are rules and engagement, particularly if God has planted you in a correct church. You will discover that all by yourself without service accountability, you can stop being a church goer. If you come to church late and I say you should trek to Jabi, you to miss church again. Say, apostle is there. I now travel. You miss church again. Then I called you. I said, I heard you are not in church. Say, there's nowhere to run. Don't get angry about the stringent structures where you are serving. Those structures are for you so you can finish well. Even when you are rebuked, accept it in love. If you are not rebuked with the word, life will flog you. Listen. If you serve in Sphere of Light Church, I was speaking with the committee chairman for Festival of Life today. So he sent me a design. So I approved it. So I said, excellent. I saw the next thing he posted. That joy. Because the word excellent is not a word you will hear from me cheaply. And you may get me wrong and say, what is this? Will I die? Say, go and design something for me. Say, I've done it. Okay, all right, go ahead, post it. Or, you have done it. I said, let the church post it, but I will not. So I say, manageable. See, in the place of training, you are taught not to give your best. You are taught to give what is required. So go and borrow vessels if you don't have. It will stretch you. One of my spiritual daughters got a job somewhere. And she had worked with me handling the ministry administration for years. So when she got that job, they promoted her about 3 times in a month. They kept saying, this is not your capacity. Because she has been trained for it. Your local church can prepare you for more. Allow yourself. This issue of coming to church and just disappearing and you don't want to be a worker. Why? You can't see. You sat down there. You are a busy terrorist. You sit there in church. How are you doing it? You can't tell me that you ignore service and you are burning. You are burning. You can't. You can't be on fire. How can your father's business be going and you are not a part of it? And you are going well. So the devil ate it when you serve. Because the instructions governing that service will preserve you. You know, as a worker in Sphere of Light Church now, your pastors are interested. You say, so I'm engaged. Say, bring her, let's see. Or bring him, let's see the person. We're interested. We want to know. Because anything that concerns you, concerns us. We're interested. So, because of that level of relation, we can be able to protect you and preserve you. Are you following what I'm saying here? Yes. It helps. So, now this was where I stopped on Tuesday. how do I keep my estate, or how do I not fall off? And I read something to you on Tuesday. I said to you that I have no guarantee that you won't be offended at some point and leave me or the church. And I'm saying this whether you're a pastor. And let me make something very clear. There are wirings I have that I had to lock myself up for days to reach a conclusion so I can be preserved. Okay? So God forbid. Well, let's assume a pastor just gets up and says, sir, I made a mistake. God did not, I'm not serving here again. Okay? By my personal structure, the constant I have, the vision, God, my family. Now, I'm not saying that we don't trust you. But what I'm saying is, you have to live in such a way that your conviction is mirrored in everything that you do. You cannot be in a spiritual family God has planted you and you know this is the future. But you keep projecting, holding like a pinch of salt. You have to speak up. And if care is not taken, you'll be failing even in your organizations. Because those who don't have good heart like you will be projecting something nice. But you will say, they will see, God sees my heart. Samuel did not see the heart of Eliab. He was going to pour oil on him. Without God on the throne, Eliab would have been the king. And many Eliabs are ordained because this is workplace. And David is saying, my heart is good. You must learn to manifest the goodness of your heart. If you are blessed, say it. If a meeting bless you, say it. Now, when I ask people, when I finish ministry, I ask people once in a while, but when we are traveling together, were you blessed? Now, I'm not interested in you telling me yes, that you are blessed. I know it's a settled matter. Describe. I'm not the kind of person that is satisfied by mere words. Say, I was blessed. Oh, it was great. So you get out of my sight. It was great. I taught you, say it's great. Get out of my sight. Tell me how. And that's the way life works. Okay? I shared the story of years back. I was sick. I was in the hospital. And I was very, very sick. And I had to rebuke the people. Because when they send me fruit, you know, as their pastor, which is right, they send me cucumber. I know people don't like when I share this story. Carrot. And some very other wicked fruit. The only thing that was not there was potato. It's not a fruit. I'm just joking. We have to say, I'm joking. Sure. So I said, what happened to pineapple? What happened to oranges? What happened to nice stuff? Why this wicked fruit? I scolded them. Then I now found out that some of them were actually holding prayer chains. Oh, my God. But see, God has heard your prayer. But the man you are praying for may not know you are nice. There is favor before God. There is favor before men. To enjoy favor before men, you must bring out the treasure of your heart. Put it on the table. This is what my heart is saying. And many have lost even their homes because they say, I'm not expressive. I'm not an expressive person. It is a weakness not to be expressive. Express it now. Is that okay now? I said it is a weakness not to be expressive. And meanwhile, this is one of the reasons why foolish boys are marrying good girls. Because foolish boys have good expression. They've learned it in the world. They will say nice things, message her, text her. But Brother Habakkuk is lost in the Bible. Always opening and say, and people keep getting you wrong. Are you with me? Say, so how did you propose to her that she gave you no? So I started by telling her the hard part. What do you mean by the hard part? What do you mean by the hard part? So I told her that if you are going to walk this journey with me, we are going to suffer. That's what you started with. Congratulations. Praise God. Now I said I have no guarantee that you will not be offended at me at some point or leave me or the church. My presentation this morning is to show you that some falls are not necessary. Some breakaways are not necessary. Now there are many people who have gone their way that we could have helped them as a ministry. We could have. And see, if you are a minister, you are listening to what I'm saying. This is one part of ministry you must master. Ministry is breathing in and breathing out. And how you treat those who leave will determine whether the church will grow or not. So I've seen ministers, people who leave, pastor will come, speak badly about them, trash them, place them under a curse. Every other person who is following will be afraid. And fear becomes the motivation. No. Okay? In fact, you want to make sure that there is structure where there is no discussion of those who left. You cannot be a blessing beyond your local assembly as long as your messages are littered with the problems of your local assembly. Because what the devil wants to really arrest is your message. And it's going to make sure that people are stressing your spirit so your message can be messed up. You must guide that treasure in earthen vessel. Preserve it. That we are praised on all sides, yet not perplexed. You must master it. Some of you will see men like Pastor here at Adeboye, that the WF Kumuyi and those men, and they are, can you through their message know the problem in their church? That's what it means to be an elder. That's what it means to be an. Let me give, because I know many ministers and ministries are glued to what I'm teaching. Let me give you something that will save you and save the ministry. You must be thinking of something greater than a rebellion in the ministry. You must be thinking of something greater than the mistakes and misbehavior. See, let there be structures that handle. You set your eyes on the goal. And if you are the head of a ministry, no. Nobody has problem with the ministry until they have problem with you. So remove the chances of anybody having problem with you. Stay with the vision. Let me leave the rest. Let me leave the rest. Okay? In Luke chapter number 22, verse 31, Jesus speaking to Peter, said to him and said, Peter, the devil has desired you that he may do what? Sift you as what? As wheat. Now, the event, this conversation in Luke 22, I'll tell you where this conversation is coming from. Now, this was another conversation after the event of Matthew 16. I'm still going to get to the event of Matthew 16. When Jesus now saw that, okay, Peter is looking mature, and began to share that he was going to suffer and die, the Bible said Peter took him by the hand. He took him aside and began to rebuke him. Jesus knew, this is not just you. It is not enough to say, get behind me, Satan. If the devil can invade you to distract my vision, he desires you. If the devil can invade you through character, you know, sometimes people are hungry and say, I want to do something, I'll pain them. You are trying to distract a vision that is older than you. Meanwhile, the real target is not even, is apart from the vision, the real target is you. Because the devil wants to win in two ways. If I can use to destroy the vision, good. I'll get you too, regardless. If I can't get the vision, at least I have you. Are you with me? Are you with me? Are you with me? The moment you see the devil begin to inspire people again and again and again to hurt you, don't just vent. Pray for them. He desires them. And this goes to leaders. The devil also knows that he can never get them until you release them. and say, you know what? I let go. Let me give you an instance. You know, I laid the foundation. God said it's only three families. Eh? What that means is the place where God has placed the infrastructure that will grow you, mature you, disciple you, set you into your inheritance is your spiritual family. So what people do is that once you walk in rebellion, you now go and go to a ministry that is bigger. But you will notice that the place you used to have, you don't have it. And the continuity you had in ministry, you don't have it. Here you are a worker. But there they have given you something to do. And if your inheritance is not here, it is not. See, don't protect your ego at the expense of your future. And say, okay, so you want to use your entire life to prove a point. That's one thing I can do. That I'm going to show them that I didn't fail. And you want to use your life to show them. So your life has now become a tool to show them. No longer purpose. So you see, the reason why everything you are doing is so you can show them. And all that you have become is for them. It's a distraction. And you have to be spiritually intelligent to know it, discern it, and pray. It's a distraction. Don't want to go further. Jude, verse 24 says that unto him that is able to keep us from falling and present us spotless before the Father, unto him. So I said that it is the Holy Spirit that keeps you from falling. It's the one who preserves you. It's the one who is moving on with your life. So one guarantee you have is that as long as you are walking and boasting in the energy of the flesh, you will always come to the end of your strength. At certain point, you will come to the end of your strength. You say, I cannot, I'm not a person who, say I'm not somebody, the way I am, I'm a disciplined person, I'm disciplined towards women, naturally, that's where I was born. When you have exhausted the natural, maybe that you have the foundation of the spiritual. If not, you will catch yourself. And the only question will be, how did I get here? Because you are alone. But you see, those who acknowledge their weaknesses and submit to God's strength, they are humble. And say, I know myself. Let's not take this greeting beyond this, okay? Let's just do it gently. Alright? When we see outside, we talk with, but let's not go beyond that. Because I don't trust myself. Are you with me? So I listed a few things to do. Wisdom that will help you not to fall. So, number one, I said stay humble. Because pride goes before all falls. Pride goes before all falls. Shortly after a man becomes arrogant in his heart, it will manifest in his character and he will fall. It takes humility to keep studying the Bible and praying every day. It takes humility to keep listening to teachings you know you are not solid at. Many boys don't listen to marriage messages because they feel they will do like their fathers did and they will mess everything up. Are you following what I'm saying here? Go and check. People are getting married and trying to get engaged. They say, we're going to read this book on relationship. The boys won't read it. Say, well, let's go for so-and-so seminar or counseling. Pastor Mimi should counsel us. Pastor Mimi's counseling session. One of the reasons why I don't, even now I don't participate in marriage counseling again, is the boys. It's the boys. The boys just be looking at you strangely like this. What are you trying to tell us? Are you trying to tell me how to do my house? Don't be looking at you. The girls are always listening. Let the girls clap for themselves. Yo, God, bless the girls. If we are pastoring just boys, we would have tired out of ministry. Don't be looking at you very strangely and like that. They will never tell you they are blessed. They will never celebrate you. They will never thank you. When I travel to Lagos, our church in Lagos is the girls that used to buy, give me Fanta and give me all those things. The boys never, it's counseling they just come for. I say, there's this business I'm doing, your business. Say, go and mind your business, my friend. But the girls will honor you. They will celebrate you. They will treat you well. They will give you shawarma and all those. But the boys, they'll tell you, I bought this jotter for you. It's jotter. It's jotter for you.
And that's why when I see their calls on my wife's phone, I pick it. I won't talk to my wife with baritone. I'm like, Mama, how are you doing? Thank God for the girls who would have been tired out of ministry. The boys don't send you like that. But maybe now they are repenting. Oh, maybe there are a few who are different. I said maybe there are a few. Maybe a few of them. I said maybe a few of them. I don't know if you are amongst those few, but I think because I'm using microscope to look for those. Hey, God bless the girls. The boys be blessed too. Oh yes, oh yes. You can sit down. Oh yes. Oh yes. Many, I'm telling you, many times the boys. The boys don't be looking at you like this. What are you talking about? Say, do you have a question? I have no question. Don't see their eyes. See their eyes. See their eyes. They'll be looking at you in a very strange way. Amen. But let me say, I hope, and thank God we are having a combined service. I hope that we're going to be able to have men's corner instead of Light Church. I hope. I hope. Because I feel I have so much to help with. I feel I have so much to help with. You see, but I don't know if the boys are interested. I'm not, see, but on people, they are not talking. I see what I'm saying. Do you see what I'm saying? Do you hear their voice? They will never talk. They are not interested in boys' corner as well as men's corner and all those things. Give us money. That's what they're saying. Or some will even ask, are they sharing money there? There is money. I want to make money. It's money. It's not money. Leave us alone. Okay. And that's why I hope that we're going to be able to get to that. Because I keep it very real. Oh, yes. Very, very real. Many people don't have the privilege of having leaders who are very real. I'm very direct. There's no area I cannot talk about. It's just me just watching you. Are you ready for me? Because me, I'm always ready. I don't know what you can hear. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Then you come to tell me and say, Rakov Seble, I say, keep quiet. Come back to understanding so we can have good reasoning. Oh, yes. Say, yes, Baba, you know, but let me give you a practical example how a boy will tell you about a girl. So in case you have been having that problem, let me explain. Come me to and say, Papa, you know, when the year was starting, the Lord gave me a word for the year. You see, so you will give the concentration of, oh, he's talking about purpose and he's going somewhere. See, you know, God gave me a word for the year. Yeah, so he said, this year is the year that I'll begin to chase tens of thousands. Say, okay, okay, yeah, yeah. So he said, but in the month of February, God said, you know, this. And I was just on my own, you know. And honestly, sir, that demo, honestly, you see, that day I was not having any intention about anything around this. But as I came to church, and, you know, Pastor Tumiche led the prayer. And then, you see, the sister that now came. Not her, but the one that was behind where she sat down. Yes. So as I look in that direction, I heard the Holy Ghost loud and clear. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Sir, God sees my heart. God sees my heart. I'm telling you as it is. And I'm submitting at your table so you can check whether I'm right or wrong. Meanwhile, he's talking to sister. They're already saying, I love you. I miss you. If you go and talk rubbish, it'll be his pot. That's boys for you. Sister too will be looking at you. What he discussed with you will now determine when she will come. She's looking at you through the window. I say, now them. I've been around for a while. So now when I hear conversation, I say, no, stop. Stop. Who is she? What's her name? Say, Papa. You know, I know you know my heart. Nadem. Amen. Amen. But stay humble. Stay humble. Stay humble, beloved. It is pride to assume you know all things. The humble will always pay attention to get more knowledge and more wisdom. As a matter of fact, it is easier to bring the humble closer and say, this is the aspect that I didn't teach about. Write this down. And that's why if you hold your leaders like a pinch of salt, they will remain a pinch of salt. There are many things you don't know, and you may never know. You may never know. That's the truth. You never know. Because the person that God has said should teach you, you are the person's teacher. That's wrong. Okay. Number two, I said stay spiritual. Stay very spiritual. Now, please follow me to the book of Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter number 5. We go to 1 Corinthians 3 also. Galatians 5. I start the reading from Galatians chapter number 5. Let's start reading from verse 16. Galatians 5, 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. That is, if you are walking in the flesh and not a spiritual life, the things you ought to do will be the things you are not doing. That is, it takes the energy of the Spirit to do certain things. It takes a man who is... Are you aware that there are times you are praying and you will see offense coming miles away? And you prepare your heart. So when things begin to happen, you give a spiritual response. And you will miss it. You will not fall into that ditch. Amen. Are you following what I'm saying now? Offense is a pit. It's a trap of the devil. You can see it coming by staying in the Spirit. By staying in Spirit. Now let me look at... Let's look at what Paul said to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians 3 from verse 1. Now Paul speaking, 1 Corinthians 3 from verse 1, says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither now yet were you able. So let me give this word of counsel to church leaders and to head of ministries who are following what I'm saying. The negative feedbacks you get as touching people not understanding what you are saying may not be a sign that you are saying too much. It may be a sign that you are getting the feedbacks from babes. Because one of the signs of babes is that they get fed up on time. They are not able to bear it. Are you with me? What does it mean not to be able to bear? To get to your elastic limit and you can't take it anymore. Are you with me now? You must build your capacity. I think there was a time I thought to the point that, and left to me, I remember that teaching. Left to me, I have not even thought 1 over 50 of what I came to that meeting to teach. So I began to read the atmosphere, and I saw that people cannot take anymore. So I had to close. Whose fault? You have to enlarge your capacity to receive. Build yourself. Listen to tapes. And I found out that the messages you don't want to hear are the ones that directly deal with your weaknesses. So hear them. Alright? You cannot have wound on your knee and we're applying iodine on your head. Apply the thing where it ought. If you have issue with lust, hear messages that deal with lust. Yet, where they will say it a big way. Don't say that man is so angry. Only fools pay attention to mannerism of correction. The wise pay attention to the content. Not like, hey, I know what I'm doing is bad, but look at the way. It's not your business. Focus on what God is dealing with. Alright? So let's get back to our teaching. Stay spiritual. Because that's where accurate response to life will come from. The devil will use the loopholes of the days and moments in the flesh to energize you to make decisions that will make your life. That is, the moment he sees that you have deviated from the life of the Spirit, he quickly pushes certain decisions so he can seal them in the flesh. You can never make a correct decision outside the Spirit. You cannot. Alright? Number three. Watch. I'm saying how to not fall. Watch what drives you. What is your motivation? It is very easy and possible to lose focus of what brought you in the first place. Make the goal your goal. Let that vision drive you. That is, you know what brought you to Jesus was not anybody in church. So regardless of how they responded to the way you greet them, stay with the Jesus that brought you to church. The sister you greeted that did not answer you well, she was not the one who died for your sin. Ignore her. See, you must learn to starve your distractions. And don't be petty. Don't be petty. Actually, I like church. But when you were saying praise and worship, look at the way they did it. Look at that other time. That brother was dancing and he was matching my leg. What's your problem? Stay with the vision. Are you with me now? Huh? No, this happens sometimes. You are trying to ask a girl out. The elder brothers are looking at you one eye. But for the joy that is set in front of you, you just want to ignore them and say, I will give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. When you see them, even those that are your colleagues in the street, you say, ignore. Alpha now. Say, great. Your sister. But you shall give everybody their own. But when it comes to church, you say, I'm out of here. I have options. Because you never came with a revelation. You came and your emotions gave you what looked like a revelation. Maintain the revelation. You see, the culture of staying, regardless of what you feel, is a culture that is a must build. Today, I don't feel like going to church, so I sit down at home. Have you felt like committing suicide before? Did you commit suicide? You see. These are very, very important conversations. Amen. What is the motivation behind your action? What is your motivation? Because your motivation becomes your pursuit. Your motivation determines how far you are willing to go. Your motivation determines who you listen to. When we later found out that the difference between Elisha and the sons of the prophet was that the sons of the prophet were following for no reason. They never really wanted anything. For them, it's just about tagging along. But Elisha had fallen so much in love with Elijah that he wanted the firstborn portion. Actually, what he asked for was not actually twice as much. It was the firstborn portion. Because you give twice as much to firstborn. When Jacob spoke to Reuben, he said, Reuben, you're my firstborn, the beginning of my might, the excellence of dignity, the beginning of my strength. In every spiritual family, the firstborn is the representation of the father's strength. It's the excellency of the mandate of the calling. One day I called one of my spiritual sons. And I said to him, I perceive while praying. That when other sons and daughters have issues, chances are they will be talking to you. They must meet us the same way. If not, God will take that thing and put it on somebody else. I discern that. Meanwhile, if you succeed in any spiritual family, you must mark the firstborn. If the firstborn is not distinctively known, the firstborn is not the one who came first to submit. The firstborn is the one who carried the spirit. If the firstborn is not distinctively known, it means he's still up for grabs. But the moment God separates somebody and says, pattern after Saul is a Timothy, after Paul is a Timothy, you must never envy the firstborn. Because the firstborn will be getting results that others are not getting. The law of the firstborn is a very strong law. You get to a city, you are doing ministry in a city. Who is the firstborn of the apostolic order in that city? One of the ways you know the firstborn is that the biggest chunk of criticism goes towards them. Because the devil fights the first. When you join the criticism, you lose your portion. So, for instance, you want to know who is the arrowhead of the move of God in Nigeria? Check the man of God they drag each time they drag politicians. I won't mention names. It's because that's the leader. Anybody who will function in his stead cannot be somebody who despises him. Now, let me say this to you. When you despise those ahead of you, there is a system already in place to let you know that you only made your conclusion because you don't know what they are in. When you come there, you now have to learn afresh. There are messages you wish that you now have to listen to it. It's the law of the firstborn.
The moment the firstborn sees the father's nakedness and calls the second and laugh, the second carries it. There are those who are blessed by my message, but there are those who can carry me in the days of infirmity. No, they are two different people, but they are both sons and daughters. There are those who can be blessed by my life and say, as long as what we see is on the altar blesses, you say, ah, thank God for apostle diseases. But when the going gets tough, there are sons and daughters who now carry clothes and say, we know why we are here. Those are different breeds. You see, it is very interesting when you choose either of the parts, because you will produce after the one you have chosen. The mistake that is making you insulted and say, don't mind them. Now I know my eyes are open. So they want to put burdens on us. That message is also training those who are raising, because it is them you are preaching it to. So I don't trouble people when they choose either of the parts. The things you are saying that others are saying wisdom, those who are saying wisdom will use that same wisdom against you. I'm not saying what I'm saying because I'm, you see, anybody who knows me, that's why when we have sons and daughters meeting, or when I call for any meeting, I don't take offering. So that it can be clear that I'm not after money. The only meeting we leave offering account on the screen perpetually is PPC. So people always ask. Are you following what I'm saying? There are those who are blessed by you, your message, but there are those who are in love with your person. Jesus did not tell Peter, lovest thou my ministry? Say, lovest thou me? Many pastors can't teach this because the whole of social media have tried to strip you of this quality of sons and daughters. Because it tells them that they are stupid for doing so. Those who can stake their life on you. That's what the category of the mighty men of David. But you'll have to be a mighty man in somebody's camp to have mighty men. That's the way it works. You can't reap what you didn't sow. And that's why the revelation I operate with is not me banking on individuals. It's me banking on the spoken word. As long as I'm committed by revelation to doing certain things, certain results are obligated to come. We will move from Abuja and go and start Sphere of Light Church Kano. People will still be wondering, how come when you get to territories you find mighty men? Because I was a mighty man in somebody's camp. And the prayers they pray in those days that you will never be alone, those prayers never fall to the ground. I have never been afraid in my life about going anywhere to start ministry that maybe men, they will come because the seed is in the earth. Many of those who were insulting the fathers in 2016, 2015 lost their ministries. But that was the same message that empowered those who rebelled against them. Are you following what I'm saying? There are too many things I can say. When we get there, sir. No, this thing is in levels. I have many things I can tell you, man. Many things. Are you with me? I have many things I can tell you. But when we get to the bridge, we will what? We will cross it. Let me share this with you. This is the first time I'm going to be sharing this publicly. Before the election, something happened. But there's a reason why I was quiet throughout the election. At least, maybe just speaking in church to my people. We had several prayers and several things. So one of the things we found out was that some people were sent after us. We've never discussed this. And I could not travel. I could not do many of the things I should have done because I was marked.
I did a very big video, which was just a tip of the things I should have done if I was not a pastor. I could have been a dangerous activist, amongst many things. I just did a very simple video, something that I know, and disrupt their system. So it went to millions of people. So that battle began. And for over a month, we had to mount surveillance around our lives. But I knew at that point that this is the end of my own human strength. And I knew that without a backing, I could actually be killed. It was a serious stuff. In fact, I never knew that I will enter into Abuja and not be picked up. My only conclusion is, when I enter and I'm not picked up, then I will know that, okay, the whole thing has gone down. Because I knew. So you know what would happen to my heart when I saw that they picked Prophet Tomi. Alright? So they clamped down on my media platforms and logged me out of them and shut down our pages online. We opened a new one, they blocked it immediately. Somebody was trying to, our media cyber security team were trying to open a new one. The moment they asked one of them, do you know Apostle Femi Lazarus, said yes, they blocked him. They said we need to go and get a letter from the government to be able to open. So I called my spiritual father. I said, sir, this, I'm in trouble. I need help. This is what is happening. Ah. He kept quiet. He said to me, he said, let me call my spiritual father. Ah. That word sank my heart. I said, a father who doesn't love you will not tell you this. He called back. He said, we are going to fast and pray 7 days. We're going to be praying together every night. So we fasted. We prayed 7 days. On the 7th day, we hit a note of victory. And the battle went down. And everything died a natural death. Now hear me. One of the reasons why it was easy for us to tell him is because of our positioning in his life. Don't die by what you can be helped on because of ego. I will not say more than that. So it took beyond myself and him and my wife praying. He also now had to involve. What I'm telling you is something I don't pray for my worst enemy to be involved in. It can scare the hell out of your life. When you know there's surveillance. You know what I'm talking about? No, you don't know. I had to start changing cars. That is, I want to go for a meeting. I will drive a car out of the house. We'll have to switch to another car and zoom off. And you don't even know when we switch. And I was still preaching, but nobody knew. Let me leave it there. Because many of you don't understand what is tied. So you can't make this thing any difficult, more difficult, make it easier. Well, this thing is deeper. What did I say? Forget about this new generation wisdom people are giving you. That you can do anything you like. When a child gets to a point to be scared, he will be scared. Bishop Oyedepo said, that's the morning when the plane crash almost happened. Around 5 a.m., they just came to wake him from the room. That Pastor He Adeboye was in the room. Baba never called him. Just drove from camp to water. And he said he just woke up and saw Baba was entering into all the rooms and was praying in tongues. Baba later now said he was praying and God told him, why are you seeking the living amongst the dead? Eh? And why seek the dead among the living? Ah, concerning his son, he dropped there. But do you know if it's a son who has given him? There are some who give him. You can't come to my house without. Go and watch the Thanksgiving service after that plane crash. Bishop is a man I love, but that day I saw again the place of fatherhood. You could see the fear that they got to that point where the plane was going down. The plane was actually going down at the Mediterranean Sea. Going down. Same thing happened with Professor Osinbajo. When his chopper crashed, he said the last call he just received was from a bad boy. Just called him, said, "I just thought of you to bless you." What if he thought of him and the son is now Buga and showing him that, "Who am I to pick your call? I can't pick your first call. Call again." Fatherhood is what it is. I will leave it there. No matter how tall you are, your elders will see what you don't see. Be humble. Number four, avoid familiarity. You want to stand? Avoid familiarity. Avoid familiarity. Avoid familiarity. In Matthew 16:21, you can write down the scripture. Peter began to rebuke Jesus. That's not ordinary. That's familiarity. In John 12 from verse 1 to 8, Mary was pouring a very expensive perfume on Jesus and wiping with her hair. Judas was the one who spoke and said, "This is wastage." It takes familiarity and seeing blessing your leader as wastage. It means you have come to a point where you have equated him with ordinary people and say, "What's there?" In fact, he equated Jesus with the poor. He said, "Why don't you go and say, I'm going to give to the poor?" And the Bible now has to put that in bracket. This is said not because he loves the poor, or because he's a thief. So if they put the money in the account and say for the poor, he will have stolen his own part. You see that? Very, very important. You can write down that scripture. Then you can also write down Matthew 13 from verse 53 to 54. Matthew 13 from verse 53 to 54. Matthew 13 from verse 53 to 54. They could not receive Jesus in his own country because they said, "Is this not the carpenter's son?" And the Bible said something very striking in verse 58. He said, "And he did not mighty works because of their unbelief." Because of their what? Unbelief. If a man that God is used to do mighty works everywhere else cannot do mighty works in your midst, something is wrong with your heart. Very, very important. Are you following what I'm saying? Number five. Feed from your spiritual family. That's the way you get balance. Don't compare what he said in different families. The doctrines, the message in different families is to the degree of the uniqueness of what God is doing. And I was telling my wife jokingly yesterday night. I said, I know ministries that God has so blessed them that now what they are trying to teach people now is, see, don't be contented. God has blessed them. I said, if a ministry that have people who don't have push want to copy that message, you will make them stay in their laxity. You can't copy anybody's assignment. Teach what he has given you. Feed from your spiritual family. You are feeding from your spiritual family and those who are saying something opposite it. Because they are not building the same thing. And you get confused. You come to church, you are trying to delete and add. To avoid that confusion, narrow your gaze. If your eyes be single, your body will be full of light. The reason why God has chosen to put you in a family is to doctor what you feed on and make sure it is what is necessary for his making process in your life. It is not wisdom to make every teacher your teacher and every pastor your pastor. Your doctrinal persuasion is trained in your local assembly. Number six, be up to date with the curriculum of your spiritual family. That is, there is a body of knowledge that is now wired in curriculums, spread across two different teachings, in series and what have you. But you must be up to date in your curriculum, in your spiritual family. Now, let me say this. One of the subjects I struggled with the most in my life was mathematics. And at certain point, I found out that the reason why I struggled mathematics at those points was because I always concluded it was difficult, and sometimes I slip off in class. And by the time I wake up, they have gone beyond where I stop. I can't catch up anymore. I failed. But the day I made up my mind, I loved this, I began to participate, and I became the best. Are you following what I'm saying here? All right, I've sat down for cowbell mathematics competition at different levels. All right, and I'm telling you, something happens when you pay attention. Don't get so broke you can't pay attention. Pay attention. be up to date. Those who miss the significant moment will display their folly. Because what should have been added to you in those moments, you don't have it. Be up to date. 2 Timothy 3 verse 15, Paul speaking to Timothy, he said out that, and that you have known the Holy Scriptures from a child. From a child. That is what he was learning from a child, he was still learning as an adult. From a child. From a child. Be up to date. Don't graduate when it's not time. Don't graduate when it's not time. Don't try to teach your teachers. Sit down and learn. Amen. Number 7, keep company with the wise. 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 Proverbs 13 verse 20. Proverbs 13 verse 30, they that walk with the wise, all right, becomes wise. Let me try, I'm quoting it right. Proverbs 13 verse 20, say, but the company of fools will be what? Destroyed. Let me read from my Bible. Proverbs 13 verse 20. Proverbs 13 verse 20. Now, he that walk with the wise shall be wise, but the company of fools will be destroyed. Now, listen to what I'm saying. This may not be emphasized, but you see, your relationship with people must be based on honoring what you honor, respecting what you respect, and abhorring what you abhor. If you claim to honor a thing and the person who dishonors it is your best friend, you actually don't honor it. Because each time you come back from those conversations, your honor and the sanctity of your heart towards it is affected. Now you are trying to recover. Instead of living such a life, walk with those that your values what? Align. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, I had many people who said when I was ordained as apostle, they were angry and saying, what does he want to do with it? From that moment, we could not walk together. Because it means that you could understand an aspect of my calling. You cannot flow with the other aspect. There's no point trying to persuade people to be in your life. Are you following what I'm saying? And that happens when you come from a dysfunctional background where you are being trained to live on human validation. You must be able to walk alone if need be. Based on conviction. Based on revelation. Based on revelation of scriptures. Are you following what I'm saying here? Very, very important. Now the question is, how do I walk in the covenant of the blessing in my spiritual family? There's a lot you will learn and you'll be preserved if only you pay attention. And check. Look at me. Check. Go and check what I'm telling you. Anytime anybody is offended in a spiritual family, one of the things the devil ensures is that they no longer can listen to the messages from that family. Because that is what he actually wanted to take away from them. What God wants to give you here is the word of God he has placed on my lips. Never allow your heart journey in such a way that you no longer can take it. It must come with joy, excitement, and freshness. You must trust the source it is coming from. If you get to the point where you now lose trust and you are now saying, well, we don't know what is going to happen now, every other person will be blessed except you. All right, so this morning I want to decree words of blessings because God has asked me to. And today I stretch my hands and I lift my voice as touching everyone all across. And I command a blessing upon you. Amen. God said I should make this happen today. Said ahead of Festival of Light, there are people that certain doors must open for. So I command the blessings. And I ask that every door that seems shut be opened. Amen. That the Lord is making a new covenant with you. That you will never come to two festivals of life the same way. And I ask, whatsoever is difficult and impossible till now, receive grace to walk in them. I speak by the word of the Lord upon my life, to as many as have received me in their hearts as their pastor, and those who have received me as their father, and in the place God has put me in your life, whether as a pastor, your apostle, or your spiritual father, or your mentor. I speak from such capacity. And I provoke a new dimension of grace. Amen. Upon your life. Amen. What God has placed on my life will work for you. Amen. None of you will die young. Amen. And you will not fail God. Amen. Whatsoever has been paused because of offense and unbelief, Satan, take your hands off these ones. Amen. And let there be restoration. It is done. In Jesus' mighty name we are prayed. Let's give the Lord a big hand. We welcome the resident pastors. God bless you. God bless you.
The message you just listened to is sponsored by the friends and partners of Femi Lazarus Apostolic Ministries Ecumenical, Flame. To partner with Flame, kindly make use of these account details. 2215005289 UBA.